everybody. Welcome to the weekly Nintendo News Roundup Live each and every Friday night. The All-In Crew breaks down the week in Nintendo news. Good to see everybody. Good to see you, Eric.
Good to see you, my friend. I know we're going to be doing a giveaway here in a few minutes, but I feel like I win a giveaway every week because I get to host All-In with you.
Aww. That's so very sweet of you to say. I feel the same way. Eric, we do have a giveaway to do tonight, and good to see people already here in the chat tuning in for the giveaway. Hi, Carsey. I see you there in the chat. So we're doing this live thing as we always do every Friday night, of course. What we do here is we break down the weekend Nintendo news. Tonight is a little bit of a special night because, of course, we are doing our Unicorn Overlord giveaway, and I know a lot of people are waiting to hear about that. But we do have one very important matter of business to attend to first, Eric. I think you know what that is.
I do. The people who are themselves so amazing, you could equate them to unicorns.
Yeah, and overlords.
And overlords
in our heart. Our patrons. We open all of our podcasts by thanking our patrons at patreon.com/allinpodcast. Huge thanks to the friends and supporters over there who make all of this stuff happen. Starting with our Golden Banana Bunch, we need to thank Rob Yaple, Sean O'Baggins, Ashton, Tim A, a.k.a. NeoPrime33, a.k.a. Nintendo Dad Number 4, Phelan Ward, Bill Tucker, Marcus O'Neill, Liam D, Gamer Jason, Andrew Wilkins, Foolish Fuji, Alan, hashtag look to the cookie, Solo, and SAZ. Big thank you to our Golden Banana Munch. You can get a 7-day free trial to the Golden Banana tier and see what all the fuss is about for yourself. We put up exclusive content up there every single week. You can check it out for free.
True story.
So thanks to them. Moving into our Triforce tier. You think Josh Vaughn, the godfather of Tingle Love Tuesday, John Datfast Cummins of the Retro Logic Podcast, as well as the On Topic Retro Podcast, and benefactor of tonight's giveaway. We'll make sure to thank him again here in just a second. The Globetrotten Jet Set Nintendo Hub and Sparky of the Nintendo Hub right here on YouTube. Adam Caparello of the Retro Groove Podcast. Shy Guy, the other half of our Shy Guy mod squad. Thank you, Shy Guy. Daniel Hinojosa, Dan and Luma, Bowza, the Keeper of the Hugs, and the legend himself.
The Unicorn Overlord, among Unicorn Overlords, Uncle Randy.
Uncle Randy. Big thanks to everybody who supports us on Patreon. I mentioned John Cummins there in the shout-outs, who has been a supporter of this show since day one, a Triforce tier supporter at the highest tier that we offer on Patreon. And in addition to that, has many times given us things to give away to our community, asking absolutely nothing in return. John Cummins, the absolute goat, if ever there was one. Just a selfless, generous dude, and was indeed the benefactor of tonight's giveaway. We are going to be giving away a copy of Unicorn Overlord here in just a minute to a winner in the U.S. and or Canada. And it's all because of him.
or Canada. You could live in the U.S. and Canada at the same time.
If you do both, hey, just give us a valid address.
The winner's going to have 1 foot in the U.S., 1 foot in.
Yeah, they live on the border.
Exactly.
That's okay. But yeah, just a huge thanks to John. You know, again, he asks for nothing in return whenever he does this stuff. So I just want to point y'all to his podcasts. He does both the Retro Logic podcast and the On Topic Retro podcast. And they're both great. Eric and I have both been on them. We're, you know, huge fans of his, friends of his. And again, he never asks for anything in return for this stuff. So I just want to, you know, give John his flowers, thank him publicly once again, and point y'all towards his stuff because he's great. So, anyways,
raise our St. Patrick's Day pint to him.
Here, here. Okay, well, let's get into it. We are doing a giveaway here after all.
True story.
The way you entered into this giveaway, folks, we are giving away one copy, a physical copy, of Unicorn Overlord for the Nintendo Switch, the recently released Vanillaware game, or Monolith Soft game, depending on who you ask. And, again, courtesy of John. And to enter, all you had to do was review the show on Spotify. Give us a 5-star rating, take a screenshot of it, and send it in to us. And the response was great. Huge thanks to everybody who submitted. It pushed us over 100 reviews on Spotify, like quite a bit over, actually.
Yeah.
It was awesome to see. That was the goal. And we, you know, we got a lot of great feedback from people who listened to the show for the first time. And people were like, hey, actually, like, you guys do pretty good work. So thanks to everybody. Yeah, we appreciate y'all for checking us out. And hopefully you stick around because we do giveaways like these as often as we can. And, you know, and we make a decent, you know, Nintendo podcast to boot, I think.
So. Yeah, we do giveaways as often as we can. We produce content even more often than that, though.
Mm-hmm. We do produce a lot of content. Giveaways notwithstanding.
Actually produce. We do this show. We do a ton of videos on YouTube every week. We actually do a ton of exclusive content just for those patrons. We have multiple weekly Patreon exclusive pieces of content that go up in addition to everything else we do. If you want to stick around, I promise you, we will give you a lot to consume.
Yeah, man. So big thanks to everybody who's checking us out for the first time. We appreciate you for doing so. Thanks for entering into the giveaway. Good luck to all. I've got a wheel. I've got a heck of a wheel.
I've got a wheel.
60 entries on
this
wheel.
He'll use it, folks.
A lot of people on this wheel. And we're going to spin it, man. If you're ready, we're just going to hit
whammies,
that button.
No whammies, no whammies, no whammies.
See what happens. Can you hear it?
Yeah, I can, actually.
Good. I love the noise. I love the noise. What do we got?
Gotta love
it's
that
actually,
frame rate.
It's actually lagging. There's so many entries on this wheel. Okay. All right. It's literally like having trouble. Okay.
Sounds like okay. A Geiger counter.
Press download 89. You are the winner of one copy of Unicorn Overlord. So we will be in touch with you. Congratulations to Press Download 89. Thanks again to everybody who entered. We will, you know, get in touch with you. And as long as you're in the U.S. and Canada, you give us a U.S. and Canada mailing address, we will get you hooked up. So we'll get in touch with you soon. Press Download 89. Big thanks. Appreciate you. The winner.
Thank you to all that entered, and we really appreciate it, again, as Seth said. And again, we try to do these as often as possible.
Let's go. The Don Rob here in the chat. Love y'all's content. I'll be hitting up the Patreon soon. Came through Carpool and love Seth's content there. Love the podcast from last week. Thank you very much for checking us out here, the Don Rob. I appreciate you, my friend. So, yeah, we press download 89. You are the winner. JT, it looks like, here on Twitter, location is Gym City. So we're going to have to find out if that is in the US or Canada, but we'll be in touch and, congrats. You've won Unicorn Overlord. Thanks nice. Again for entering, everybody.
Take that to the gym.
That's right. That's right. Cool. Well, Eric, with that out of the way, no shortage of stuff to talk about tonight.
True so. Story. Yes. It's been a weirdly big week. We kind of thought this might be a little bit of a lull before Princess Peach Showtime releases next week. However, we certainly have plenty to talk about, my friend. So let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. We got, of course, Mario Day. Yeah. Mario Day happened on Sunday. And, you know, we didn't really know what to expect from Mario Day. There's some rumors floating around. But turns out it was a pretty big day, actually. They got a little, put out this little video that's about 2 minutes and 49 seconds in length. A lot of news crammed into this thing.
Yeah, they do a lot with a little time. And, I mean, Nintendo came out on a Sunday, dropped a little new mini presentation. I knew we were getting something because Nintendo was actually kind of hyping up Mario Day. They were releasing little Mario vignettes about all the different Mario games that you can play on the Nintendo Switch leading up to the day. So I knew there was going to be something on Mario Day, but we just didn't know what. There were some birds chirping out there. But turns out what we actually got was news about a new forthcoming movie, a quote-unquote return to the world of Super Mario Brothers from Nintendo and Illumination. Not announced as an outright sequel to the Super Mario Brothers movie specifically, but apparently it is already being storyboarded and quote-unquote close to starting animation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We had, of course, you know, good old Shiggy and Chris San in attendance to talk about it. The movie's coming out April 3rd, 2026. Details are scarce. We know that the same directors from the first movie are coming, but we don't know really anything beyond that. We, in tomorrow's episode of All In a Nintendo Podcast, we actually get into this quite a lot. So we're doing a whole segment on tomorrow's episode where we chew the fat on this for like 40 minutes and we speculate on what we think this movie might be. We get into the weeds. We talk about pretty much everything related to this and have a little bit of fun. So, in the interest of time, we're not going to do that here tonight, but tune into tomorrow's episode of All In, and you will hear plenty of Mario movie sequel or whatever the heck this is speculation on that episode.
Yeah. But in terms of headlines, there's still plenty more from this week for us to dive into, and even several more from this presentation, because honestly, with the fact that it was just a couple minutes long, you could have very easily thought that it would have just been the movie announcement. But no, we got several, actually several other announcements within this little presentation, two of which have to do with the release dates of upcoming Super Mario Brothers Universe remakes. As you can see here on screen right now, we got a date for Paper Mario, the Thousand Year Door, the remake, remaster, whatever it winds up being, releasing on May 23rd, 2024. And in addition to that, we also got the release date for Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, which is going to wind up releasing on... I'm kind of waiting for it to show up on screen.
Whenever
here.
It comes up on screen.
Whenever it comes up.
There it is.
June 27th, 2024. So really, really excited. Jam-packed first half of 2024 for the big end. We've already gotten Mario versus Donkey Kong. We already know that we're getting Princess Peach next week. We've got a new Endless Ocean game coming out, which I'm personally excited for. That's coming out at the beginning of May. We got Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door coming later that month. And to round out the first half of 2024, we've got Luigi's Mansion 2 HD dropping right at the end of June.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this was what Puro kind of teased before, was that we would be getting these two release dates. Interestingly, these are both $60 releases, and I know there's a lot of contention around Luigi's Mansion 2 because there's not a lot of info known about it. What's the point of difference? Is this just a prettier version of the 3DS game? Who knows? But interestingly, in the interim of learning about Paper Mario's release date, there have been some press releases and little blurbs on the game's eShop listing where they mention that it's going to have gameplay, like new gameplay features and changes. And that's interesting because that means that it's more than just a simple up-res, make it prettier and release it. And to be honest, if there's a game that could use that kind of treatment, I think it's this. There are quite a few things I would tweak about Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. That's what makes me the most excited about all of this, is like the notion that we're going to be tweaking things.
Yeah,
I'm into that.
Yeah, so Nintendo's typically pretty good about adding new content or gameplay tweaks. They're certainly not above just a straight facelift. I think that's what, aside from the joystick controls, I think that's mostly what Metroid Prime Remastered was. But I mean, I'm here for it. Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door is already one of the most famous games, one of the most famous Mario spinoffs that Nintendo has ever released. There was a ton of hype around the re-release of this game. So if they're giving us even more reason to check, I hope they do enough to warrant the price tag. I think at the end of the day, that's just what people are looking toward. They see, you know, this was a game that came out so many years ago, and here it is. Just in what we've seen of it so far, it basically just looks like a port being released at full price. So the more we learn about what's actually being tweaked, what's actually being changed, the more Nintendo can actually justify that price point.
And we've got plenty of time to learn about that. The game's still more than 2 months out. I imagine that within the next month, month and a half, we're going to get some, you know, a 9-minute like overview trailer or
probably
something.
Yeah.
You know, going over what some of that stuff means for me and for a lot of people. Like, I love the Thousand Year Door. I think it's great. But it does have a lot of backtracking and a lot of padding. So a simple, like proper fast travel system in this game would work wonders. And I'm kind of hopeful that we're talking about tweaks of that level, because interestingly, like they don't call this like Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door HD. Yeah. Like they call
not Luigi's Mansion 2. Yeah.
Yeah. But they like Skyward Sword is another situation where they, you know, they tweaked that game significantly. It's the definitive way to play that game. Yet
so good.
It is just called Skyward Sword HD. So the naming conventions for this stuff make no sense at all. There's no consistency with it because Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, we have no reason to think that this is anything more than an up-res, and yet it's got the same naming convention as something like Skyward Sword, which was anything but a simple up-res. So I don't know. I am trepidatious about Luigi's Mansion 2 in particular, being a $60 release. But we still, it remains to be seen. Maybe they're going to come out and say, hey, there's a ton of new content to really justify it. So,
well, look at the release date for Luigi's Mansion 2. That's going to be right after Nintendo's June Direct, June presentation. We're probably going to have some Nintendo Treehouse Lives. I imagine in the couple weeks before that game comes out, we're going to see a lot of media and probably a lot of hands-on gameplay of Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. So I'm sure that's what Nintendo's plan is at this point. At least I kind of hope so. I mean, the timing really kind of lends itself to that pretty perfectly.
Yeah. And it's an interesting one too, because, you know, Luigi's Mansion 2 is a great game. No it doubt is. About it. And
I really liked it on the 3DS.
Yeah, same. And it's got really cool multiplayer that is returning for this version of the game. So that's all really cool. That's all great. But yeah, I do think that there's a lot of people who are like you were saying, Metroid's a great example. People are kind of pointing towards Metroid and being like, well, hang on, that was $40. You know, why is this $60 if this is the same exact treatment? So going to be interesting. I also think that there might be something to the notion of, you know, we're almost certainly, if not this year, we are certainly sunsetting the Switch and moving into the next thing. Is $60 going to be kind of the budget price? You know, is $60 the new $50 or the new $40, you know, moving into the next thing? Is 70 going to become the norm for Nintendo like it is for everybody else? You know, that remains to be seen.
Well, the last information we have from Nintendo on that is it's being done on a, what, case-by-case basis like it was with Breath of the Wild. So, but I mean, a new generation brings new challenges, brings new price points, and as has been incredibly highly publicized this year and over the past couple of years, the cost of making AAA games isn't exactly going down. So,
yeah,
we shall see.
We'll see. But we're not done with this little Mario Day news.
There's more?
There's even more. What?
What?
They ended the last literally 10 seconds of this.
Yes.
With the announcement that now live now, but 2 days later at the time this aired on Sunday, GB Games, Game Boy Games, dropping on the NSO app. We got Dr. Mario, Mario Golf, and Mario Tennis available from March 12th.
And Mario Land, right? Mario Land was dropped in there. Let me see. Mario Land should be there as well. Super Mario Land, Super Mario. No, that's weird. That's weird. That didn't get released.
A lot of people were upset about that.
I think at this point, most people just want it just for the sake of having it, for the sake of completion, I guess. But, I mean, it's not really good, especially in hindsight. Like, we already have Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins, which is a far superior game. It blows my mind that Mario Land and Mario Land 2 are on the same platform. But, I mean, would it be cool? Yes. Are each of these better games? Yes.
Yeah. I think Mario Land 1 is kind of like, I kind of like how weird it is.
I mean, it's historic. Like it is weird. It's got, I mean, I know you like how weird it is. You did a video on Tatanga.
Yeah, like, I kind of like how, I don't know, it's almost like a weird, like, side-scrolling shooter in a way. Like,
well, I mean, there are a couple stages that are literally
shooters. That are literally shooters, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting game. I don't know. I think it should. Like, I think I'm surprised they haven't done it already. But I'm also not one of these people who are chomping at the bit for it. These three games that we got are far, far better. So, all good. Happy to have it here. It was a nice little, you know, kind of stinger at the end of this little presentation. So,
yeah. So we got the movie, we got the release dates for Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door, Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. We got the three brand new games added to NSO this week. But we also got a little bit more Mario Day news outside of the presentation from a weird source. Well, I say weird. It's a company that has been getting in pretty deep with the Super Mario Brothers franchise over the past couple of years. We got some new Lego sets on the way, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to be real. This video that they put up for this Lego thing sucked. I did not like it. It was not good. Way too long. Way too much detail. Like, y'all, it's Legos. This is like an 8-minute long video to talk about the Legos.
I like the way the Sonic Lego stuff does with like the Eggman stuff. But yeah, this was not
that. Get to the plot, to quote Lockleth. The first set we have here, we've got the, I think it's called the Bowser Express set, which they've got showing off here. It's the Bowser train from 3D World, basically. So
you got Boom Boom there and Hammer Bro and...
Yeah,
they actually show the Bowser train from 3D World there. And admittedly, the set looks dope.
It's a cool set.
Really good. Yeah. The Bowser locomotive specifically, if they just sold that by itself, I would probably just buy that because there's a ton of other stuff added in with this set as well, including even like a train stop. They even got the cannon that shoots Mario up onto the train itself. So it's a weirdly robust set, I think, which is going to make it a little too pricey for most people, unfortunately, but I don't know.
I want to say this one's like 119 or something like that. I don't know if they're going to show it, but you can kind of see them here in this shot. My favorite part of the set, there's like a husband and wife Goomba duo in there. Like, she's got this little like pink bonnet on and he's got like a bowler cap on. It's my favorite part of the whole set. They sit inside of the train. It's very good. I don't know if they're gonna like detail them or not, but I like it. There they were. That was a nice good shot of them.
I never noticed that. That's pretty oh my god, that's so good. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, the wife looks so mad.
They have a little croissant like on the table between them and coffee. I love them. I would get the set just for them.
I need a spinoff with them right now.
It's very good. But yeah, like they've got like a little, you know, that little launcher thing that actually will launch Lego Mario. You can put him in there, that launcher pipe, and push a little button and he'll fling out, you know. Boom Boom's cool. You know, cool to have Boom Boom on there. It looks like his arms probably do spin. So yeah, it is a neat set. Oh, there they go. They're like taking the top off of the train car and everything. So that's cool. All of these sets are coming August 1st. The next set, speaking of Luigi's Mansion, is a Luigi's Mansion theme set, King Boo's Haunted Mansion, I think it's called.
Yes.
And this is cool. It comes with Dry Bones. I think this might have been the first Dry Bones that we've seen. We got a like lantern Yoshi, like one of those Yoshis that like produce light. We got one of those, some special functionality with the Dry Bones with Lego Luigi there. And of course, King Boo himself. I do love the giant, just square,
the blocking,
just the big old square King Boo. I do like him a lot. This one I think is a bit more reasonable. I think it's $74.99, but yeah, pretty good.
Good set. There was something about the, like, just the block King Boo that immediately I was like, well, that's so incredibly low effort. But the more I see it, the more I'm kind of endeared by it.
I love it. Yeah. This is what, but like they had this whole thing where they like played up like this family or whatever for the video. And they keep just like flashing to the family asking questions. Super annoying to me. Just like talk about the set, man. Like just show me more of the set. But it's good. It looks good. Looks cool. August 1st, just like the rest of them. We've also got this, I think, is the most affordable of the offerings. This is the, I think it's Roy. Yeah. Battle with Roy at Peach's Castle set. Which is, yeah, kind of a miniature version of Peach's Castle. You got Roy there. You got Toad there. Roy's got a chain chomp on a leash, you know, kind of neat.
Yeah,
it's fine
because they were never going to have the Brutals in there. So you might as well have Ray doing that.
That's true. Yeah, you're not going to have the Brutal set. This is a little more, I think, you know, a little more evergreen to have the Koopalings involved, you know. Again, this is a simple set. I think this is also the least expensive of the three. So yeah, this is a neat one. The big one though was the tease they showed at the very end.
Oh yes.
There's a very exciting tease there at the end for what's coming in 2025, with Lego and Super Mario, the tease of Mario Kart, coming, and the silhouette of a Lego Mario Kart there. So exciting.
I'm going to spend way too much money on a Rainbow Road set. I know I am.
You gotta imagine that's like there in the first wave, right?
Rainbow Road. That's absolutely coming.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I think about Lego, there's so many iconic tracks from Mario Kart that are kind of screaming, like DK Summit, I think would be a good one. Like even the new weird Yoshi's Island set, I think is ripe for doing one. So I don't know, man. I've been able to protect my bank account from a lot of this Super Mario Lego stuff, but I'm genuinely afraid when they start announcing the Mario Kart stuff for next year.
Looks cool. It looks really cool. I'm curious if they're going to try to put out some more characters between now and then. So far, it's been Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Donkey Kong for the big, the large like figures. Yeah. We've had a few minis and stuff and various enemies and stuff like this, but in terms of the large figures, it's those. So I'll be curious to see if we end up getting more added between now and then. But seeing like the Mario Kart carts in Lego form is pretty darn cool. Lego typically releases their sets on January 1st and August 1st. So, and then they'll throw a March 1st in there on occasion too. It's always on the 1st. It's always in these like weird like time frames. So I'm curious when this will drop. We just know it's 2025. So,
well, even with as small as the carts are going to be, I mean, we already have some really impressive electronic functionality with the characters themselves in these Lego Super Mario sets. I do wonder if there's going to be like actual like RC functionality in at least some small way. Even if, I mean, honestly, even if it's just like a pull back and jet forward thing, I'd dig that. But I wonder how they're going to expand on the ideas that they've already incorporated into the Super Mario Brothers sets with this new Mario Kart line that's going to be coming next year. I'll be really interested to see that, because I feel like that's going to be a big priority for Lego in these sets, is focusing on the kart functionality like they have with the characters previously.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the full rollout of that is. But that's what's going on with Mario Day. Again, way more news than we expected. A bunch of Lego stuff coming August 1st, a tease for Lego Mario Kart stuff next year, Dr. Mario, Mario Golf, Mario Tennis, all available now on the Game Boy NSO app, Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, May 23rd, Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, HD June 27th, and a new Mario movie coming April 3rd, 2026.
Yeah, we actually got the date for the movie.
Yep. Pretty big news day.
Yeah.
And not too shabby for a, you know, 3-minute little video. So,
yeah. Not too bad. A lot of reasons to be excited. And that's not it from this past week either. It wasn't just Nintendo doing presentations. There were several other companies that got in on the fun as well, including Capcom. Capcom had a ton of stuff to announce this past week in regards to stuff with Exo Primal and Street Fighter VI, but we did get a couple Nintendo headlines out of it. First and foremost, we know that the new Monster Hunter Stories release, we know that it will be coming on, where's the date?
June 14th.
Yes, thank you very much. And in addition to that, and much more depressing news, we will be getting a physical double pack of Monster Hunter Stories and Monster Hunter Stories 2, sans Monster Hunter Stories 2 on cart. I will say this is
unfortunate.
Yeah, we're seeing footage now from the first Monster Hunter Stories. coming to Nintendo Switch, and it looks cool. And again, this is Capcom's continued efforts to bring their 3DS games over now that the 3DS is as well and truly past its era. We've gotten a lot of Mega Man games. We've gotten a lot of the Ace Attorney games. So I'm glad that this one is coming over as well.
Also, the first time it's ever come over to the States. This was previously Japan only. So that, you know, and it's fully voice acted. There's a lot of additional content to it. It's cool that we're getting it. It's coming pretty soon. There's going to be some excitement about it. It is a bit of a bummer that, you know, they're putting out the physical like double pack and Stories 2 is not even present on the cart. I don't really know why that is. Seems like kind of a waste of time. You know, if you're going to do it, you should do it. But hey, it is what it is. It's still cool. It's still cool that this is happening at all. But as somebody who already owns Stories 2 digitally, it's like, I might as well just get the first one digitally if I'm going to get it. So, yeah.
Yeah. But regardless, if you're looking for a reason to get into the Monster Hunter franchise in some way, shape, or form, the Stories franchise is not a bad way to do it. But there is certainly a couple of core Monster Hunter games on the Nintendo Switch that Seth and I highly recommend, especially Monster Hunter Rise.
Yeah, Rise is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but great stuff.
Weirdly, as part of this whole Monster Hunter thing, this was all due in celebration to the 20th anniversary of Capcom's arguably now flagship franchise. They counted down the top 20 monsters as voted on by the fans, and I've got to say, the top three were actually very surprising to me.
Yeah, I kind of speculated this on the show. Like we were talking about this, was it last week or the week before? And like, I know the obvious choice would have been like Rathian or Rathalos. So I bet it's going to be weird stuff. I bet it's going to be stuff that we don't even see coming. And to be honest, the first one doesn't super shock me.
Yeah, that's probably the most, yeah. Understandable. Well, I don't say understandable. It's probably the least shocking. Yeah.
Yeah. So the top three most popular voted monsters for the 20th anniversary of Monster Hunter were number one, Zenogre.
Shocky boy.
Number two, Nergigante, and number three, Lagiacris, I guess. Which I think is from Monster Hunter 3, if I'm not mistaken. Never played that one, but I think that's which one that one's from. Zenogre, yeah, that's my favorite monster also, I think, or at least one of them. That would be in my top three as well. But yeah, the other ones are surprising. They're fun, like fun fights and stuff, but yeah, not hide nor hair of any of these kind of classic, you know, Monster Hunter monsters.
No Kuliyaka love, apparently.
No Kuluyaku, no Puke Puke, Puke, nothing like that.
I actually like Puke Puke.
Yeah. No Arzeros or Jagras or anything like that. I think I compared this to Greninja when we were talking about this. It kind of reminds me of that. It kind of reminds me of like Greninja's popularity, like the sort of, I don't know if you want to call it recency bias or whatever. But yeah. Interesting.
Could have also been super easy to put an Elder Dragon at number one, but no, I mean, Zenogre. So fair play. I feel like congrats. I need to go get some Zenogre armor now.
That's the armor that I was rocking in Rise for a long, long time. So yeah, very cool. Yeah, we had the Capcom highlights thing. Not a lot of Nintendo news. Most of the stuff that is Nintendo related was from this Monster Hunter showcase. But the big headline here is Monster Hunter Stories dated for June 14th. So please be excited about that. A couple other little headlines here to hit on, Eric. This is a quick one. So the Pokemon Company has established a new subsidiary called Pokemon Works. This was established as of March 4th, 2024, just a couple weeks ago. Nothing official is known about what exactly the purpose of this subsidiary is as of yet. Pokemon Company has not issued any sort of statement detailing what this thing is going to actually do. It is worth noting, though, that it is located in the same building as Ilka, so speculation is already rampant. Ilka, for those who don't know, are the developers they worked with for Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. So there's speculation already rampant that, hey, are they basically just like saying, you know, we have some Ilka people and you're going to be working under the Pokemon Works banner to continue to make, you know, Pokemon remakes for us. That could be what this is. We don't know.
That was my initial thought, is it's basically just going to be like a Pokemon company liaison to Ilka as they work on the inevitable Gen 5 remakes. I mean, we've gotten remakes already for Gens 1 through 4. Black and White is currently the one in the queue, and I imagine it's already being worked on in some way, shape, or form. That was my first thought, is this Pokemon Works thing is just essentially the Pokemon company contingent at Ilka.
I bet. I bet that's exactly what it is. But that's just speculation on our part. We do not know.
That's true.
And we will not know until the Pokemon company makes an official statement. That's true,
and that won't hold up in court.
That's true. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, but it was worth reporting on anyways. Eric and I are excited about this. The 2024 World Video Game Hall of Fame finalists have been announced. From our friends at the Strong National Museum of Play. Let me see if I can make this a little bigger. We have our finalists, many of them Nintendo related, for the 2024 World Video Game Hall of Fame. You can vote on these now. We have Asteroids, Elite, Guitar Hero, Metroid, Myst, Neopets, Resident Evil, SimCity, Tokimeki Memorial, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Ultima, and You Don't Know Jack. Those are your finalists.
Yeah, it's not the first time that Metroid's been up for the Hall of Fame. And interestingly enough, this will be the 10th class for the World Video Game Hall of Fame. So a really, really important group will be inducted this year. And I feel like Metroid has a good argument. I feel like it's got a good chance. However, like, there's, I mean, obviously you got Myst, you got Asteroids, you got Resident Evil, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. There's a lot of games here that truly deserve to be enshrined. And one of the things that I really like about what the Strong Museum does is, as you can see right now here on screen, they have, each of the finalists has kind of their own page that presents the argument for that game or franchise for being enshrined, for being added to the World Video Game Hall of Fame. I really like how they do that, as opposed to just saying, hey, we think this is worth the Hall of Fame, without adding any reason. The Strong Museum and the World Video Game Hall of Fame actually says, here's the game that we would like, here's why. And even for Neopets, I think they've got, you know, they make a couple good points, to be fair.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. It's nice that they, you know, they kind of illustrate like why they arrived at what they arrived at. It's not just simply, you know, because some of these you could turn your nose up at. There are going to be people who have no idea what the heck Tokimeki Memorial is and why it should be nominated. But it's, you know, if you like a game that has a relationship building mechanic from Persona to Pokemon, Tokimeki Memorial is sort of what created that and popularized that.
Yeah.
So, you know,
a lot of people turned their nose up last year at Barbie Fashion Designer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like Tokimeki Memorial is this year's Barbie Fashion Designer.
You're probably not wrong.
Yeah. You can go to themuseumofplay.org, cast your vote now for the finalists. I think the way it works is, I think the like community vote or whatever is like one of the votes considered on the committee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have Andrew Borman back on the show, so maybe he can re-explain that to us.
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty cool. For, you know, for those who are into that.
Yeah. Vote meow. That is
a thing. You can vote now. Okay. Next thing we have here is Summer Game Fest has been officially dated. You know, Nintendo's involvement in Summer Game Fest is always kind of cagey. We never really know what to expect from Nintendo at Summer Game Fest, but regardless, Summer Game Fest is happening Friday, June 7th from the YouTube Theater in Los Angeles, with thousands of in-person fans and millions watching online. A cross-platform live showcase of what's next for video games. Public tickets on sale May 7th. Summer Game Fest 2024.
I'm sure that Jeff Keighley was just disappointed he couldn't post that in response to another dead post about E3. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, to be fair, Summer Game Fest is, I don't want to call it a replacement, but it has kind of taken that big marquee June kind of video game Christmas time frame, and there has been a lot of very big announcements at Summer Game Fest over the past few years, and I assume there will be some big ones at this year's Summer Game Fest. And even if they don't come directly from Nintendo, there are still quite a few games announced here that do wind up coming to Nintendo's handheld hybrid. So regardless, I'll be watching.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there in regards to that. But that is happening June 7th. More details to come. The times for that are 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. So we'll see. Summer Game Fest. It has been dated. It has been confirmed. And at this point, it's less than 3 months away. So we'll see what happens. But I think that's what we got in terms of headlines. A lot of notable releases to get to here.
So many. So many notable releases. Everybody's trying to get it out of the way before Nintendo drops a first-party title next week.
Yeah, you're probably right. we got, you know, of course, Princess Peach Showtime coming out next week. The first one I want to highlight here is the sequel to Luca Born of a Dream, a game that I really love, coming out this week. It's actually already out. It's called Death of a Wish. This is kind of a top-down, like, Hyperlight Drifter-esque,
yep,
Dark Souls-esque, combat-heavy, sort of very, like, dark, religious theming, but very fun and satisfying gameplay as well. I really love the first one. I'm looking forward to playing this one. It looks like much more of the same of what I loved from the first one. Very cool and unique game. Really looking forward to it. So I got to get to this.
Looks pretty dope. Actually kind of gives me like Paper Wars vibes or something like that. Actually reminds me a little bit of our indie showcase from this week, If Found, in terms of the kind of sketchy visuals and the use of color. But
very sketchy. Yeah, a lot of like moving, sketchy artwork. Yeah. Yeah.
Looks pretty dope, though. I dig it. Yeah, kind of isometric, top-down, dungeon crawler. And you said the combat is very Souls-like. It certainly appears mm-hmm. that way.
Yep. Very, very Souls-like in terms of the combat. So Death of a Wish, definitely worth taking a look at. New Contra game came out this week. Contra OG, Operation Galuga. Contra OG,
yes. I haven't played it. Seth, I don't think, has played it. However, no. There are reports coming out that the Nintendo Switch version is, to put it mildly, is not the preferred version of the game. Apparently, it is running very well and is a very fun time on other platforms. But the Nintendo Switch, at this point, according to multiple reports, isn't currently in optimal shape. I do hope it winds up getting a little bit of work done on it, maybe add a couple patches, because I'm a massive fan of Contra. I grew up with the first one. I can still probably put in the Konami code in my sleep. But I mean, yeah, it certainly looks like a Contra game. Yeah, if that's still something you're interested in, though, that is out now. The first Contra game in, oh man, this is the first Contra game since Hardcore back on like the Xbox 360 and PS3.
Yeah, I think they've done something since then, but nothing too crazy. I think they've done some like remakes and stuff like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not the world's biggest Contra fan. I like Contra fine. the WayForward has said that they're going to release a patch for the Switch version. So hopefully that optimizes things. And yeah, that'll be cool. That'll be good. Because I hear the game's good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess we're just kind of sitting in this pocket of really difficult games right now. Because we've got a game with Soulsborne-like combat. We've got Contra game, which have always been difficult. And now we've got this Magical Princess game. I mean, this has got to be like super easy. Right, Seth? I mean, it just looks so inviting and so, like, almost angelic. There's no way that this could be that challenging, my friend.
This is Violet Wisteria, which is made by Solo Dev. We were lucky enough to get a code for this one. The video we're watching now is my video. This is my gameplay on the YouTube channel that you can check out right now if you'd like to see it. And, yeah, the game's hard. The game's real hard. It is a challenging, arcadey sort of combat fantasy platformer with this really interesting color-changing mechanic where you have to almost Ikaruga-like use a certain like color attack to attack enemies that are color-coded. But interestingly, you can also attack them with the same color to bounce off of them. And I think you're going to see an example of that right here. And this is my first time learning the stage, so I didn't know what I was supposed to do. But I have to hit this blue guy with my blue attack in order to have him bounce me over this large gap. So you'll see me figure it out. Now he's white. I would have to use a white attack. And it's a really interesting mechanic that the game makes good use out of. So, yeah. It is hard, though. The game is definitely challenging, so it's not going to be for the faint of heart. You're going to need to get used to it. It's going to take you a lot of retries, and you know, the challenge is up to you. It's a very retro game kind of style, but I do like the way the game utilizes its core mechanic. It's neat.
Yeah, it really feels like a classic style arcade game. I was getting kind of like Altered Beast vibes from that.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of those kind of like old Sega, you know, kind of games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that's Violet Wisteria.
And that first look is, again, up on our YouTube channel now. You can watch the video in its entirety. And speaking of first look videos that we have up currently on our YouTube channel, another release from this past week is the newest entry into the Gold Master series from Digital Eclipse, Llamasoft, The Story of Jeff Mentor. And if you are even remotely familiar with Digital Eclipse and the work that they have done in preservation and collections over the past couple of years, you will know that this is, you will probably already know that this is going to be a must play for gamers of a certain age, for people who are interested at all in the history of this medium. The Atari 50 collection, the first entry into the Gold Master series, The Making of Karateka, they have been just lovingly crafted interactive documentaries, interactive museums, essentially, telling the story of the developers and the studios behind some of the earliest classics within the video games landscape. This is my video right now, and even I'm getting a little like dizzy watching my ship bounce ping-ponging back and forth between two giant camels that I'm trying to kill with a starship. And yes, every single word of that sentence was true. But yeah, this is just another really, really impressive offering from the company that has become the gold standard in releases like this. If you have more modern sensibilities, if you don't care about the history of video games, okay, this may not be for you. But as a piece of video game history, and as a company who have become experts at telling the story of this industry, this is just yet another premier release from Digital Eclipse.
Yeah, big shout outs to them. Thanks to them who provided us code for the game to check out. And again, Eric's got a video for it live on the YouTube channel if you want to see it for yourself. The next game we did also get a code for. Big shout outs to our community member Decoy, who passed along the code for this, The Veil Shadow of the Crown. I'm going to talk about it in a little more detail on tomorrow's episode of All In, but there's not a video on the channel because this is a graphics-free video game. There's almost no visual element at all because it is a fantasy role-playing game where you play as a blind princess. And so the game is done almost entirely with audio cues. So there are very like faint, you know, sort of like dots that you can kind of see, but for the most part, there are no visuals to the game whatsoever. So, you know, as you can imagine, doesn't lend itself well to a YouTube video, but it's a very cool, very unique game. And I love what it's done for accessibility and, the kind of window it gives you into the everyday struggles of blind people. Very, very cool. And like a proper RPG that they're apparently making a sequel to. So very neat. I was pretty impressed with it. I'm looking forward to playing more.
Yeah. Play that one with headphones.
Yes. The headphones are almost a must because it's like directional. Like you need to know the direction that the things are to you. So it's a cool game. That's The Veil, Shadow of the Crown. The next one, Death Trick Double Blind, which we saw at an indie showcase. I think the last Indie World showcase we got.
That sounds right.
Little guy on there.
Yeah. to be completely honest, when it comes to the Indie World Showcases, this one didn't blow my socks off. But, I mean, it's out now and we can see for ourselves if it blows our socks off. But it's got this weird kind of visual novel meets card magic style. There's this mystery going on at a circus and you're trying to discover it and weirdness ensues, essentially.
Yeah, it looks like a detective game. Looks like you're doing a little bit of the point-and-click, hunt-and-peck, Ace Attorney stuff. They even have a very clear, like, was it contradiction, I think, rather than objection. Yeah, contradiction! You know, that's pretty funny. I can get down with that. Pretty good. So, I don't know. I'm interested. I don't know when I'm going to have time to play it, but I am interested in it. One that I know you're pretty excited about, Star Wars Battlefront Collection.
I am, oh man, talking about a game that hasn't really had a very good launch, but I still really want to check this game out. I'll probably wind up doing it this weekend. There's already been a lot said about the first couple days of Star Wars, of the Star Wars Battlefront Collection across multiple platforms. I shall return next week with a few first-hand offerings, so I can hopefully let you guys know how the game plays, both in local and online on the Nintendo Switch version. A lot of what I've seen has to do with the PC port of this game. So, again, this is something that I was incredibly excited for. I have so much love for the original couple Battlefront games from the GameCube PS2 era that when they announced this, like, this was one of my hypest moments from last month's Nintendo Partner Showcase. And I mean, as you can see there, it's just, it's so full of Star Wars goodness that, I mean, I still want to play it. Even after everything that I've heard already, I still want to play it. But like I said, I shall have firsthand accounts of this game next week.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Aspyr, the developers, have already issued a statement saying, hey, we're going to keep working on it. We know there's issues. And honestly, firsthand accounts from people in our community. We shout out Decoy earlier. He was playing it today, and he was in the Discord talking about, hey, I've actually had no issues with it on Switch. So it sounds like your mileage may vary, but, you know, we know people who have had some good experiences, actually, with the port. So here's hoping, man. They're good games, and they're worthy of good ports, and they're out now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Coming up next on this ridiculous list of notable releases just from the past week is a new movie called new game called Guilt, G-Y-L-T.
Yep. This is a kind of like survival horror kind of thing, a little, you know, little nightmares-ish looking, kind of like your third person, you know, kind of little nightmares style thing. Pretty scary, pretty intense. I've not played it. I know that the Backtrackers and the Carpool Gaming community played it a couple months ago, and the reception seemed to be contentious, but, you know, it looks kind of neat. If you're into kind of scary stuff, it looks like it might be kind of neat. Yeah. So
we certainly enjoy the little bit of the spoopy here at All In. So if you check it out, let us know.
Yeah, let us know. That's Guilt, G-Y-L-T for Guilt. Not Gelt, not Hanukkah, but Guilt. Next up, we got the next game in the like radio nostalgia series.
Yeah.
High Water is now out on Switch. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, from the same studio that brought us The Cub that just recently came out, as well as, it's not called Golf Club Wasteland anymore. It's called what?
Golf Club Nostalgia.
Golf Club Nostalgia, yeah. So the same studio that brought us those two wildly different titles has now just dropped High Water, a more tactical game in the series.
Yeah, it looks like, let me see if I can find it on screen here if they're going to show it. It looks like the actual gameplay, like you have these moments where you're kind of top-down isometric exploring the area, but then there's like strategy, like grid-based strategy combat in the game.
Yep.
It looks really interesting, and these games are all, I mean, we had Golf Club Nostalgia, as it's called now. We've had The Cub, which just, it itself just came out a couple months ago. And now this, all within the same interconnected universe, all very different gameplay genres. So definitely want to check this one out.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, Radio Nostalgia from Mars alone is worth checking out. But yeah, very, very interesting, this connected world with these three wildly different gameplay styles. It's just inherently fascinating. And again, you and I really enjoyed Golf Club Nostalgia. You have a video up for the Cub on the YouTube channel already, mm-hmm. so people can check that out. And yeah, I hope we get the opportunity to check out High Water here soon.
Yes, indeed. Another game that we have a video for on the YouTube channel, another game that we very graciously got a code for earlier this week, is Rebel Transmute. And y'all, this game's awesome. I'm just going to show it to you a little bit.
Seth is in love.
I love this game. I've only put a few hours into it. It's just been a busy week, but early impressions are very strong. This is a kind of deconstructed, no-nonsense Metroidvania, kind of in the style of Metroid 1. Much more fast-paced and fluid than Metroid 1, but still very much in that style. Made by solo dev over the course of 5+ years. And again, I'm going to get into it in a little bit more detail on tomorrow's episode of All In, but it is real good, you guys. And I've just been having a blast with it. Again, big thanks to the publisher who passed along the code for it. I played about the first like 40 minutes of it on the YouTube channel. And this is the one where I'm like, okay, I got to fit this in. I got to try to beat this before Peach comes out, because I'm way into it. It's great.
Super Zeo Drifter vibes.
A little bit. It doesn't have... Zeo Drifter's got that core mechanic, you know, to it. Visually, it definitely kind of looks a little bit like Zeo Drifter.
Yeah.
Itself, kind of a, you know, deconstruction of Metroid.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
But gameplay-wise, this one is really unique. Like, the whole setup of it, being able to, like, mess with your augments at these repair stations, change your loadout, unlock new things in a way that's kind of unlike other Metroidvanias. It's really neat. This screen right here, you can actually, you have this kind of like DNA chain where you can decide like what augments you want to have active. As long as you can fit it, you can have whatever you want active. It's really cool. Really neat. Cool game. Rebel Transmute. Y'all should play it.
Yeah. Seth talks a little bit more about this game on the episode tomorrow as well. But again, that was his video up on our YouTube channel. Another thing that you can check out from us here at All In. There's a couple other notable releases that we'll get through really quickly. Kingdom Come Deliverance also came out. That was another game that we saw briefly at the Nintendo Partner Showcase last month. I'm not super familiar with it, to be completely honest with you. I know it's a, you know, kind of high fantasy game where you play in first person, and like, I don't want to just be reductive and call it like Skyrim Light or something, but if that gives you kind of an idea of the type of mechanic and setting that you're looking at, it is a fairly apt descriptor, at least.
Yeah, this is Game Explain's video we have up here. This is the Switch version of the game, and from what I understand, it's actually a really good port. So if you're interested in playing Kingdom Come Deliverance on the Nintendo Switch, it sounds like it's not a terrible way to do it.
We see is that guy you're fighting just glitches right through a female NPC in the middle of the fight.
Yeah, yeah, it probably has like some measure of jank, but it looks like it runs just fine,
yeah.
You know. So yeah, I'm sure that'll be cool to some people. I have no, you know, knowledge or love of Kingdom Come, so, but I know there's some people who will be into that.
Oh yeah.
Last game to shout out here this week, Rainbow Moon, which came out apparently like a decade ago on other platforms, is just now making its way to Switch. We did get a code for this earlier today. We have not had a chance to play it, but thanks to the publisher who gave us copy of this. This looks like it is a kind of, like, the overworld exploration's like kind of top-down isometric, but then when you get into combat, it's Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah.
I mean, straight up. So, it looks kind of neat. The reviews that it's had in the past have been pretty solid, and, yeah, I don't know. It looks kind of cool.
I vaguely remember when it came out all those years ago, it gave me, like, really big Nippon Ichi vibes. It felt like Atelier, or it felt like, you know, one of the RPG series that they would have put out. You know, now we have it here on the Nintendo Switch, and I think both a normal and a deluxe version. I think there's actually multiple ways that you can buy the game on the eShop right now. And I mean, there's some really good tactics-based games on the Nintendo Switch, but if you're a fan, it's certainly worth checking out.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. I'm going to put out a video probably early next week on the YouTube channel. So look out for that. Rainbow Moon looks pretty cool. And it's out now. I think there's the sequel's called, I think, like Rainbow Skies. And I think you can buy like a double pack, because I think that one is also on Switch. But the first one is now on Switch. Rainbow Moon. So, yeah, it was a pretty big week for releases.
Absolutely. But let us know what you guys are playing. There's a ton of stuff that's come out just in the past couple months, much less the past week. So let us know what you guys are up to this St. Patrick's Day weekend. Reach out to us on Facebook at All In Podcast, on Twitter at All In Podcast. If this is the first time you're joining us, we would love to have you join us over in the Discord as well. We have an amazing community over there. Incredibly inviting, safe space, incredibly positive. If you've got any questions, we've got your answers and we've got your friends over there. So come join us over in the Discord. We would love to have you. But in addition to all of that, in addition to, by the way, thank you for joining us on YouTube, watching us here. We've got a ton of video content, as we've been saying over and over again these past few minutes. So if you're watching us on YouTube, go ahead and like, subscribe, click the bell for notifications so you never miss another video from us. If you're watching us on Twitter right now, thank you for watching. But go ahead and mosey on over to YouTube and do the same. Because in addition to all the content that we've already talked about, as we talked about earlier, we even create a ton of exclusive content for those patrons we shouted out at the top of the show.
That's right. Yeah. Patreon.com/allinpodcast. That's the place to be. 3-tier support over there. You again get a free trial for 7 days to the Golden Banana tier and see the exclusive content for yourself. We produce exclusive content every week, 2 exclusive podcasts, exclusive videos, and all kinds of stuff going up there on Patreon. So check that out. We appreciate you for doing so. If you also want to support the show, you can pick up merch, bit.ly/allinmerch. Watch us on YouTube. It's underneath. Another great way to support the show. If you watch us on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave comments on the video. Very helpful. If you listen to this show on your audio feed, your 5-star ratings are hugely, hugely appreciated. Quick, easy, and free way to support the show. And again, big thanks to everybody who did that for the giveaway. And we greatly, greatly appreciate it. It is the best way to get our show in front of the people who need to hear it. So thank you all so much for doing that.
Yeah, that's specifically why we did that for the giveaways, because of how much it helps the show and helps it get in front of the people who would like to see it. If you have done that, if you have picked up a piece of our merch at bit.ly/allinmerch, if you have become one of those legendary patrons, if you have even just shared our content across this vast internet of ours, and especially to all of you who gave us reviews over this past week, Seth and I would like to extend to you an incredibly heartfelt namaste.
Namaste, everybody. That's been the news roundup. Congrats again to Press Download 89. Yes. On winning the copy of Unicorn Overlord. Thanks again to everybody who entered in. We appreciate y'all. Hopefully you had a good time. Hopefully you stick around. We'll do more giveaways in the future, of course. But in the meantime, there's plenty more Nintendo content from us, including tomorrow's episode of All In, a Nintendo podcast, which will drop on your podcast feed. In tomorrow's episode, we're talking a lot about Mario. We're doing the top 5 Mario games that Nintendo will never release on Switch, but should release on Switch. We are, like I mentioned earlier, breaking down our thoughts on what we think the potential new Mario movie could be. And in the Indie Showcase, we're talking about a really special game called If Found, that we're excited to talk to y'all about, in addition to all of our impressions on recently released games and much, much more. So hopefully y'all check it out. We appreciate you for coming through and hanging out with us tonight. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Have a great holiday weekend, everyone.